This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 3.
And we've got another 53 minutes left in the show, which is great. My voice appreciates that. We also have Brandon Childress joining us in about a half an hour or so, give or take. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls, a bunch of them, which will start in Virginia with Eric. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Hey, fellas. Great show. I just wanted to put my two cents in on the debate with Florida State Clemson. In the 90s, I think ACC football got a little bit of a bad rap because there were a bunch of decent teams. My Wahoos, for one, with George Welsh, first team to beat them, obviously, in 95. And then the Carolina teams, which you've mentioned. Tons of pros on those teams, by the way. So it wasn't like they were playing against bad competition. Some of those UVA teams that I remember watching had a tremendous amount of pros on there. In fact, you could argue we underachieved. But at any rate, I think that what Bowden did was exceptional. And I don't mean to denigrate Clemson at all. I'm pulling like crazy for him, but just wanted to put my two cents in. I appreciate it.
No, that's a good call.
Excellent call.
And good intel, because you're right. Carolina teams were loaded. The Virginia teams were loaded. Georgia Tech had pros.
And Maryland, I keep going back to Maryland
early.
By the end of the decade of that run, those Ralph Regan teams now, of course, they won the league.
Yeah, Sean Hill.
And that's where I think that's Wesley. I know you and I have gone back and forth with the decade it was,
right,
versus the Bowden era of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I think the top of the ACC was better
back
the
then.
90s. I do. Been more consistent.
I just think they changed the game.
They did, but that's a separate argument.
Yeah.
You and I are in agreement that Florida State absolutely changed the landscape of ACC football for everybody in the league.
Yeah.
But I think the top of the ACC in the 90s, and again, the league wasn't 14 deep then either.
Yeah, you're right.
I think the top of the league in the 90s was better, more consistent than what we just saw in the 2010 decade.
Mm.
My opinion.
Good point. Graham in North Carolina. Hi, Graham.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. I kind of agree. I think Florida State had a better run, but I think Andrea Ellison had it right, and Clemson's is just beginning, so let's look at it in four or five more years and see what the difference is. But I had one thing I wanted to mention. You were talking about the debacle with the Danny Ford firing. Couldn't you say, Pat, would you agree that Ford was ahead of his time and that he wanted the facilities that Tommy Bowden eventually got and that, of course, Dabo Swinney has built more on? But he was just ahead of his time, and it was just a different era. What do you think? Thanks.
100% agree. 100% agree. His vision of what he wanted, Clemson wasn't going to play that game. I mean, I'm talking about the administration.
How exactly did he?
I can't do it. I can't really do Danny. I could give you youngster people. But Danny, without question, had it going to the point where that was his vision of what he wanted. We talk about this all the time, Wes.
Uh-huh.
President, AD, coach, man, you got to be on the same page. And then, unfortunately for the Tigers, that's where it all fell apart.
By the way, next Monday on this show at 9:30, Clemson President Jim Clements.
Excellent.
Yep, Monday from New Orleans.
Are we going to negotiate out-of-state tuition fees with him? Is this going to be my time to say, Prez?
I would say
you've
this,
done an incredible job.
I would say this would. I would say that you this would be your window. Yes.
All right, I like it.
Are you looking for some sort of refund?
I'm
because Gigi graduated and Emmy has a year left.
Well, hey, anything? Hey, if I can help on a semester, I'm all in. I am truly all in. I will say this: I know him a little bit. He has done an unbelievable job.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about athletics.
Emphasis on a little bit.
No, a little bit.
I don't think I'd start asking for some sort of refund.
Well, I mean, hey, if he says, Pack, I tell you what, you've done a nice job for us representing the institution. You haven't been arrested. We don't see you in headlines. You don't cause problems much. You know, I mean, me, I'm not going
to. Are you going to ask him about the Clemson House sign?
Well, I may have to do something because Ram would get nowhere with Radakovich. Just saying.
I can't believe we're going to get the president of Clemson. By the way, let me also say
you
this.
You know why he's cool, though? This dude is cool because
he's a good guy.
Oh, I like him.
I like him a lot.
But But he's raised so much money. He has
well,
done,
that's what your job. Presidents have a lot of obligation. Down
I
there.
Cannot tell you what an unbelievable job he has done there. I mean, a great job.
All right. Chuck in North Carolina is going to hold on through the break. 844-SAY-ACCN. We're going to spend this commercial break talking about things you're going to be allowed to ask and not ask.
Oh, we're not going to get into one of those, are we? I don't do that kind of radio or television
or take
show.
Needles or go in the ocean.
I am not giving you – I'm not going to forward five questions. I do not do that. You can do that. I'm not going to do that.
I'm kidding. But I would like to know if you're going to ask about a refund for tuition because I think that would be fun.
I don't want a refund. I just want to discuss what we're doing with out-of-state tuition.
And why is it so much?
You know, I've already told Dabo Swinney. I looked Dabo Swinney in the eyes and said, "Dude, you're awesome. You're great. I love what you do. I love what you stand for. But man, you keep winning these national titles. I can't afford to send my kids to Clemson anymore. Can't do it. You keep winning all these things, and man, tuition. I just know this. Thank God, that my daughters did not have my grades coming out of high school because if they did. And they wanted to go to Clemson. They had no shot. Zero. In all caps.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. They would have, you know where they would have ended up?
Don't you say it.
The Hebrew Don't you word
say
for
it.
Oak.
No, they wouldn't have.
That's where they'd have gone. In-state. To the University of
what?
Hebrew word for oak.
I got to tell you something. I got news for you.
What's that?
If they'd have gone to Mighty Elon...
I don't know where that
you'd be paying more than you're paying going to Clemson.
No, I don't believe that's true.
I believe you might be wrong there, Coach.
I don't believe that's true.
We'll take a break.
I've not seen you guys in the college football playoffs.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, it does.
I'm just talking about the number of commas in your tuition check.
No, we're not going for that.
No, this is Elon's a palace now of academia.
Apparently.
All right, we'll take a break. More of your calls. Clemson now, FSU in the 90s coming up with me and Mr. Alum of the Year over here, back after this.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. ACC. You know, I feel like Ted Baxter from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Lou.
Okay, if you've been with us today, there's been a North Dallas 40 reference, a Mary Tyler Moore Show reference. Every once in a while, this show skews
to 100.
Older. I wouldn't say 100.
To a comma.
All right. More of your calls, 844-SAY-ACCN. How about Chuck in North Carolina to
Please.
Get us started? Okay.
Absolutely.
Chuck, how are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm going to go with Clemson for two reasons. One, because of the culture that's being established for these young men to have life after a future as responsible adults and parents. And I think Dabo has created a family atmosphere that is very important, especially for some of the fellas that may not have that coming up in their home environment. And secondly, I think that Clemson is going to be there for longer, especially with what they've established and probably the next couple years with the incoming recruiting class.
All right. Good call. Appreciate that very much.
That is one of the most impressive things that Dabo has been able to do, though, is life after football. That Paul journey is incredibly important to him. The give back to the community. And I know we had a caller earlier, Ashley, who called in, was talking about the academic work. And I've said this before to other people. What Clemson's been able to do on the field is really great and tremendous, but it's even more impressive what they've done in the classroom in terms of graduation rates consistently. The Paul journey thing has been a great concept. Jeff Davis, former player, great player.
Great player.
And a great guy is tied in that whole thing. It really is. Their entire program is just lock solid. I mean, it is really, really good. It's what it's supposed to be.
Let's go to Kevin in Massachusetts. Kevin.
Good morning, guys. I'm going to go with Florida State simply because of the reasons of 14 straight years in the top four, not the top five, guys, the top four from 87 to 2001. And the NCAA called them a dynasty, not some hack newspaper reporter somewhere, you know, puffing up the program. The NCAA called them that. I didn't even know the NCAA would call anybody a dynasty. But, yeah, that was tremendous. And the case got to be made for Bobby Bowden as the greatest coach of all time. Florida State didn't start their program until 1949. They played in the Dixie Conference for 5-6 years. And, you know, everybody else had a 50-year, 60, 70-year head start. They were nothing before Bobby got there. So it's got to be Florida State. And Florida State joined the ACC in 91. We know academically they were down around 100. They meteorically jumped up to 57 this year in the U.S. News and World Report because of their association with the ACC. I believe rubbing elbows with those great academic schools. That's my take.
Kevin, thanks. No, that's a good one. I appreciate
it. All spot on.
I'll say this. The path that Boise State has taken, even though they haven't won a national title, they have won a BCS game, a BCS-type game, the Oklahoma game, Fiesta Bowl, one of those type New Year's Six deals. I think Florida State is the inspiration of several universities in this country that elected to fast-track their football programs. I think schools looked at it. I think people in those communities looked at it. I'll use Boise State as an example. It had a really good program, started in the 1950s-ish, and then all of a sudden they started fast-tracking 70s and 80s through FCS, and by the 90s they were wanting to get into the deal. Well, I think it's a reality of where some of that got to. I think Florida State's blueprint of success was an inspiration to a lot of those schools.
One of the great things that Bobby Bowden did was when he took over, he said, I'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. Hey, Nebraska, you want us to come out to Lincoln three times? We'll come up to whatever it takes.
Yep.
And he understood. I mean, you're talking about a guy with a vision. I mean, I was in the Rutgers set down there in Tallahassee when he took over, at best. Yep. And now you drive down to Tallahassee and you check out what they've built and what they've won and what they've accomplished. His vision of what he wanted to do, who he wanted to play, how they wanted to play the game, guy was brilliant.
Yeah.
Just brilliant. And the fact that he had the whole, you know, dadgum, you know, down
all
to earth,
shucks. Yeah.
All shucks. I mean, you know, dumb like a fox, man, he'd wear you out. And, man, what a great coach and what a great person. I've always loved him.
Let's see if we can get David from South Carolina squeezed in here. Hi, David.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Just want to say, Wes, it was awfully good seeing you Sunday. Thank you for coming over.
This is the former Clemson basketball star, Dave Angel.
Oh, no kidding. How about that?
Dave, thanks for calling. Appreciate that. Yeah, it was fun to meet you.
It was good seeing you, Pac. I related to Wes that he does give you a hard time, but you probably deserve it. And you've been living with it all your life from your dad.
So. No, I mean, it doesn't even faze me anymore, Dave. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whether it be Twitter, my wife, whatever. I mean, it just kind of bounces off now. Just whatever.
I understand. And to your point about tuitions, I have three daughters that have all played their way through college with their volleyball at NC State and High Point and SCAD. And Wes is absolutely right. Go check High Point. Go check Elon. Go check Duke. So many, Wofford, the others. You are getting a bargain at Clemson with your out-of-state. So enjoy.
Where's the bourbon?
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much.
I need some bourbon and, after that comment.
And as far as the dynasties, all the credit in the world to Bobby Bowden and the great things he did. I'm reminded of, I think it was him that was in the movie about Marshall, about the class that he showed after their loss, which really shows Bobby what a great respected guy. It's difficult to say which is better because Dabo isn't done yet. But the path that Dabo is taking, I think, will lead to also a great dynasty and something we all Clemson folks are very proud of. And thank you guys for the great job y'all do. Really enjoy having y'all represent the ACC. Thanks.
Appreciate it very much. That's great to hear from him. Dave Angel, by the way, played basketball at Clemson in the 1970s. They had the Clemson Alumni Basketball Weekend the other day when I was there for NC State. And I got to tell you, it was awesome. Billy Williams was there.
Oh, no kidding.
Horace Wyatt. You got a chance to see Horace Wyatt. Dave Angel, Ikara Turbe, who, you know, is a great Rick Barnes player.
Move your feet, EK. Yeah. Move your feet. Started all kinds of problems in the Greensboro Coliseum.
Stop it. But
That was one of the most that was one of the most legendary ACC moments ever.
Yes, yes.
And it had nothing to do with a made shot or a bad call, nothing.
Yep. David Angel, 19.
Were you there that night?
No, sir. I was at the Southeastern Conference Tournament.
No kidding.
I was still doing Vanderbilt then, yeah. When all that went.
What a night that was in Greensboro.
Yeah, well.
Dean Smith, Rick Barnes. I thought they were going to absolutely go after each other. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you what, you're talking about the place jumping?
Woo!
The Greensboro Coliseum.
It was jumping that night.
People were taking sides.
Yeah, they were.
In the stands.
Sure.
It was unbelievable.
Yep. It's a great story about that whole deal.
By the way, we got a picture. We've been talking about Dabo and Bobby Bowden a lot today on the show.
Yeah.
With this topic. Tim Beray sent me a picture a while ago that I fast-forwarded up to the boys up in Bristol. And this was a shot, if the boys can put on the screen here, or Chrissy, anybody. It's a picture of Dabo Swinney and Bobby Bowden together. Because Coach Bowden came to the Valley.
He did.
To watch the game this year. And eventually we'll get it up there.
Maybe.
Perhaps. Maybe not. But it's really kind of a cool shot. And again, the games, I still go back to Tommy Bowden and Bobby Bowden.
There we go. Stuff.
But here's a shot from Dabo's office. And Dabo, of course, with the breast cancer awareness in October, was wearing the pink jacket. And there's, of course, the legendary Bobby Bowden. But there's two of the best of this conference will ever see right there.
Tell the truth.
Period.
Yep.
I don't care what happens moving forward. Those two right there,
yep.
Hall of Famers. So yep. Kind of a cool shot. Appreciate Tim Beray sending that to us so we can pass it on to you here on Packer and Durham.
Yeah. We have a Tim Beray stat we're going to share later in the week, maybe for Monday's show, by the way.
Okay.
Depending on how the guest list rolls.
Is it based on out-of-state tuition?
No, it's
how
not.
How it's increased
but
to
I'm, 8,000%? You know what? I really appreciate old number 42 calling this program to back me up on that.
Hebrew word for
no, Elon. We got to take a break. Brandon Childers coming back on the other side, by the way. Yeah, we're going to talk to on Twitter, Agent_0. I love the Twitter tag. Brandon Childers off to a great start with Wake Forest this year, and he's some of our people. You know why? He's a son of somebody. So we're going to talk to Brandon about that, the Deacs' big road win at Pittsburgh, and tell you what, you go from one to the other. Wake right back at it tomorrow night. Florida State at the Joel. Bottom of the hour on Packer and Durham on the ACC Network, Sirius XM 371.
Going into my sophomore season, we were playing Florida State. I think they was ranked number 3 in the country at the time. We was having a morning meeting before the game. I think it was a noon game. I walked up to Coach Bobby Petrino. I was like, Coach, you know, you ready for this blowout? He was like, I don't know about that. And, you know, I was kind of startled. It was like, what? Like, you supposed to always have faith in our team. So I texted my teammate, Keith Kelsey at the time. You know, he a senior linebacker. And I was like, you need to tell them boys, you know, we need to come to play because Coach P, I don't think he believing in us. You know, a lot of people doubting us going into this game because every year in the past, you know, we played Florida State, it was always a loss. So this year was going to be different. A lot of fans, you know, came out and supported us. We went out there and, you know, we put up a great show. It was a really upside score of the game. You know, everyone knew how that came out. People jumped on the bandwagon, you know, right after that game. It's pretty inspiring, you know, to have kids, you know, come up to you in that community each and every day, you know, when you're out. I want to take pictures, look up you as an idol and stuff like that. That means a lot to me.
Jackson. Was he a player or what? Holy mackerel.
Good to see the coach believed in him.
Well, that was kind of telling, too, to be honest with you. Now, I remember that game, Wes.
I do, too.
Because I was in Clemson, of all places, when that game was taking place. And I remember, I don't know what time the Tigers were playing, but that game was an early kick. I think it was
12 noon. That game was 12 noon.
Yeah, I think it was College Game Day
was
there. And it was a noon kick.
And they stoned them.
Oh, and I remember, I don't know what time the Clemson game was, but I just remember the scoreboard scroll in the stadium went across, and it was like Louisville 63, Florida State 10, or whatever it was. And the whole stadium was like, ooh. I mean, it was almost like everybody saw it.
And it set the table for 4 weeks later.
Oh, which is one of the legendary games in ACC football history.
Absolutely.
Where Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson put on one for the ages. One for the ages.
Brandon Childress to join us here in just a moment on Packer and Durham. A couple of other notes to pass along. We've had ACC Players of the Week yesterday.
Saw that.
On the ladies' side, Alyssa Cunane, who Debbie Antonelli talked about from NC State, is the ACC Women's Basketball Player of the Week. Amber Brown of Pittsburgh is the Freshman of the Week. On the men's card, Matthew Hurt, who had 20 in the first half against Boston College the other night, is the Freshman of the Week. And John Mooney, the double-double waiting to happen, wins the Player of the Week award for the second time this year.
I think it's interesting that you and I were going back and forth regarding the Freshman of the Week awards. Mm-hmm. And how many times would Cole Anthony win it, et cetera, et cetera. Now, granted, he's been hurt. We get it. But you know what? Nolly's won it 4 times this year. Vernon Carey's won it 3 times. Anthony's won it once. Now Hurt's won it once. It'll be interesting moving forward how that plays out.
Yep. John Mooney, Notre Dame.
He's tough, man.
Yeah, he is. I love the way that Mike Bray has handled that kid's development. By the way, the reason we imbump with Lamar Jackson is because today is Lamar Jackson's 23rd birthday. And he's younger than Joe Burrow.
Is that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy. And then more of these college football 150s coming up for you tomorrow on the show.
I think it's cool that Lamar Jackson, as dynamic as he was at Louisville and mm-hmm. winning the Heisman and all that cool stuff.
Right.
But there were still people who were like, well, that's fine and all, but you know, he can't play quarterback in the NFL. There were people having that conversation. And I'm not just talking about idiots on radio or TV.
Well, real people.
I'm talking about real NFL people.
Yes, real people.
We're having conversations about, well, he really can't throw the ball, and well, he's just a runner. And they had 1,000 reasons why a guy couldn't do something, and now he's on the cusp of possibly being the MVP of the league.
Yeah, and the thing that has always kind of been interesting to me is someone who's been fortunate to go both sides on the Saturday game and the Sunday game is that the Sunday game always feels like that's a different deal, right? And I understand. It's the National Football League. Everybody can run. Everybody can hit. They all can play, right? The interesting part for me about the conversion from Saturday to Sunday, and I'm willing to tell you, I've been more wrong than right on a lot of this. Some guys are just going to be transformative. The biggest thing in the NFL in the last 5 to 6 years has been that quarterbacks coming to the National Football League don't work under center anymore, and that they all work in a, quote, RPO, spread set, things like that. Often, quarterbacks are struggling when they get to the NFL to go back under what you would call traditional formations, under center, eye football, things like that. Because quite frankly, the college game is moving further and further from that type football. That's why, you know, we joke about Boston College with Steve Adazio. That was a more of a traditional looking formation, but even they got into more RPO stuff here in recent years. Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick was such an outlier, but the book on Michael Vick was he couldn't throw the football, right?
Yep.
Lamar Jackson's book coming out of Louisville was skewed to Michael Vick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the longtime NFL executives all said, well, this is just another Michael Vick, and it'll flash for 2 or 3 years. But even remember when Michael Vick was with the Falcons long before the other stuff started, there was a question about whether Michael Vick was really a quarterback in the National Football League. So Lamar Jackson had to cross that hurdle and then, by the way, set his own path.
Yep.
And that's what you're seeing today. And I will say this, not only because I think it's important to note, because it's an ACC tie. A lot of what you're seeing Lamar Jackson do this year is not only what John Harbaugh and Wink Martindale and those guys up there in the Raven, not the game show host, the OC, what they're doing from an offensive perspective. Remember who spent 6 days up there in minicamp?
Paul Johnson.
Yep. Talking about different ways to run and throw the football from the spread sets. So, just always want to mention that. I think it's important to understand that RPO and that spread stuff is moving closer to Sundays than people think.
Well, happy birthday to Lamar Jackson. Absolutely. He's just an awesome dude to watch play, man.
Spanish guy, right?
Ciao. I'll never forget it. One of the funniest things of all time.
All right, let's go to Winston-Salem, shall we? We're excited to have Brandon Childress join us. Agent_0 on Twitter, right? Is that the way it sets up for you, Brandon?
I'm sorry, repeat the question one more time, please.
I said agent_0 on Twitter. Is that the Twitter handle for Brandon Childress?
Yes, sir. That is me.
Well, it's great to have you. What a great win for you guys Saturday at Pittsburgh, huh? I mean, that fall behind by 16, that didn't seem to bother you all a bit.
Nah, not at all. I mean, we started off a little slow, but eventually during the media timeout, I just wanted to make sure I did a great job of leading the guys, especially the young guys that we have on our team, and even the returning guys from last year. You know, we've been in this position before. We've been down plenty of times. So just, you know, fight through the adversity that we have. Just stay consistent. Just execute on offense and defensively, and everything else will take care of itself.
All right, I'm going to get right to it. We'll get back to the games and all that stuff in a second. But your dad, Randolph, was a star now. And I know he told you 1,000 stories. You probably saw a video. But give me an instance where we had a father-son game of horse where something on the line. Because I know there had to be some absolute knockdown, drag-out shootouts between you and your dad.
I'll give you one. So my 16th birthday, we're playing for a car. And my father took full advantage of the physicality that he had. So it wasn't fair at all. So we played a game of 1-on-1 to 12. No, I'm sorry, to 16. The score was 16-8. He kind of pushed me up the entire time. And I wasn't in the weight room a lot at the time like I am now. So I definitely wanted that rematch soon. But that was probably the last time he had anything competitive. Now it was a shooting from spots. So, you know, that can go either way. But the 1-on-1 was for a car, my 16th birthday. And, of course, I've lost.
Hey, Brandon, let me tell you something. My old man, Billy Packer, when I used to play one-on-ones with him, let me tell you what he used to do. And I can show you this on television. I'd try to play defense. He'd do one of these old 1903 kickouts like this where you couldn't get near him. So he'd just put his foot out.
The old Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, I mean, what is up with that? Can't guard that.
Man, that's cheating.
That's exactly what I told him.
Hey, Brandon, we like guys that are sons of somebody because both of our dads worked in the ACC for years on television or radio. We relate to the way you grew up. But your dad, and I've done enough of your games in your weight career and gotten to know your dad a little bit to know that he's really proud of what you've done. And it's had to be special to have him on staff in your college career.
Man, I get emotional every time I talk about this guy. Man, before basketball even started, this guy has been amazing. He's been a huge role model in my life, not just me, to my brother. He's a great father and a great husband. I mean, he set so many goals and expectations for me. He believed in me when nobody else believed in me. You know, saying that people, a lot of people said I couldn't, you know, play in the ACC, and you know, him being a coach in the ACC, and he's recruiting a lot of these top recruits during the time when I was being recruited. And he said, man, you can play at this level. All you got to do is put your head down and work. And every day at 5:30 in the morning in high school, even sometimes late at night, I would go to the gym and just work on my game, working on the fundamentals, spending so much time with him and just picking his brain and just learning from him. And, I mean, of course, it's been a roller coaster. You know, you got to separate father and son and coach and player. During this process, but this journey since I've been a student at Wake Forest University, it's honestly truly a blessing, and I can't thank, you know, him enough for it. And I want a special thanks to God for giving me this opportunity to do this.
Yeah, it seems like there are a lot of special moments there that very few fathers and sons get to go through, and you're doing it at a place where obviously he created an incredible legacy, and now you're trying to help this young team, and you guys have put three wins together. And it really looks like that the win Saturday, and forgive me for doing this, this is kind of playing to the hype a little bit, but the Xavier win has sparked you guys. The win, the fact you guys went in there and got a top 25 win really seems to have helped you a lot.
And it definitely has, especially, you know, a win over a top 25 team with Xavier. This is a confidence booster, especially for the young guys. We've been going through a lot of these previous years, winning 11 games last year, and now we got some momentum going into Florida State. And right now, you know, that's what we're focused on, Florida State. You know, focus on one game at a time, kid focus on the future. But, I mean, everybody's been great. Practices has been real intense. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow's night matchup.
By the way, I'm going to go back to your dad a second because I thought your answer was spectacular.
Yeah.
You can just sense the respect that you got for your dad and the love, and that's what family's all about. But did he ever give you any videotape of what he did in the Greensboro Coliseum back in the mid-90s when he just lit up this league? Has he ever sat down with you and said, listen, Brandon, let me show you what I did back in the 90s? You ever give you one of those?
The only game he actually made me sit down and watch with him is the game at Duke when he hit the buzzer beater on the right elbow in Cameron. That is the only game we actually watched together. Obviously, the moment he had at the Greensboro College Sim is the tape that I watched on my own. This is before they made DVDs, so I had to kind of go old school, the VCR, and kind of, press the rewind button and go back and see what he did. So, but, I mean, it's amazing, man. I can't believe that guy did what he did. Scoring 107 points in three games is just amazing.
Yep.
And unreal.
You're right about that. You mentioned being a leader. You're certainly the guy now. I mean, not only the leading scorer, but you're having to lead some younger guys. And I want to ask you, and I mentioned this yesterday, no guy has embraced the journey maybe like Shaundi Brown has this year. Where have you seen his jump, Brandon, this year for the Deacs?
Shaundi has been amazing, man. He's using his voice more. He's speaking out to the younger guys. He's doing more things off the court than he is on the court. A lot of people don't pay attention to that. Spending time with the younger guys, just building this camaraderie and that bond just means a lot. Because during those critical moments, you got to listen to, what we're saying and not just how we're saying it. Because, we're in a battle. Within those 40 minutes, you got to find different ways to listen to what coach is saying and execute what he wants and just understanding what's going on for the game plan. And Shaundi Brown is doing an amazing job of just helping me out, listening to me, and also giving advice to the younger guys. And then also taking guys under his wing as well, going to the gym and bringing guys with him just to build their confidence as well, because eventually everyone hits the freshman wall throughout their career.
You saw some really good backcourt players with Pittsburgh. You're going to see some really good ones with Florida State. We had Trent Forrest on the show yesterday. And when it comes to this league, now you've been around the block before now. When it comes to this league, is there a better combination of backcourt play than what you're going to see with both Pittsburgh and Florida State in the same week?
So repeat that question one more time.
The players you went up against with Pittsburgh in their backcourt, obviously they're a talented group. But Florida State presents a whole separate issue in terms of their length, their athleticism, and the defense. We had Trent Forrest on the show yesterday. How difficult is going up against him in the wave that Leonard Hamilton throws on you every time you play Florida State?
Man, they play literally every guy on that bench and every guy is out there on their team. So every time I play Florida State, you got to know you're going to see a different body every other 4 minutes. Trent Forrest is a heck of a point guard, man. Long athleticism. He picks you up 94 feet. The whole team does that. They switch five. A great defensive team, and that's a matchup that we have to understand. It's a different type of ball game. Pittsburgh, they played a lot of zone against us, and we were ready for that. But Florida State, they're a very fast-paced team. They're what, top 10 in steals and blocks. So it's a good defensive team. It's definitely going to be a big challenge for us tomorrow. But we just got to stay focused and understand what we have to do and just execute on offense.
I tell you what, Brandon, it's been great to have you on. We wish you all the best coming up.
We got to ask the one question.
Oh my God, I almost screwed this up, Brandon. I'm sorry.
We got a senior, so this is going to be good.
This is going to be good. Yep.
All right. We ask every student athlete that comes on the show, Brandon, the toughest course that you have had to take at Wake Forest is what?
Comm 220. Not even close.
What is it?
It's more like it's a statistic class, but it's Comm 220, man. It was so much going on in that class.
Like Communications 220?
Yeah. Communications 220, yes, sir.
In a statistics class? They had statistics in Communications 220?
Man, listen, if I could sit here and break down everything that we learned, I promise you it'd be a tough job for me, man. It's really tough.
Well, the good news is you don't have that tomorrow. You have Florida State instead.
Yeah.
That's a tough task as well.
Hey, I tell you what, I'm going to be up here in a couple weeks for the Boston College game on a Sunday night. You and I are going to have to sit down and have a talk about this Comm 220 class, okay?
Oh yeah, being the math guy that you are, that'll be great.
Because I promise you, I was a communications major at Mighty Elon, and we didn't have any math in Comm 220. We didn't.
No, I was a little math going on in there, man. I was a little confused myself, but
yeah, we got to talk to somebody in register.
And now we're here.
Yeah,
good. Hey, wish you the best.
Be well, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
You bet, Brandon Childress. @agent_0 on Twitter.
His answer about his dad.
Oh, man.
Is all you need to know. But if you don't know anything about Brandon Childress as a player,
yep.
the answer he gave you about his father and what it meant to him is all you need to know about the character of that kid right there.
Yep, exactly right.
And what a great job the family did.
Yep. And the highest scoring father-son duo in the ACC.
Yep. I'll tell you what, I bet you that was a pretty good one-on-one game, though, don't you think?
Well, we probably ought to have Randolph on for some degree of rebuttal at this point, because I have heard that Brandon has gotten him once or twice.
I know there has to be one in there.
That's why I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. We need to do that.
All right. We'll get that done. When we come back, we'll close this show. More medical elixirs potentially tonight for Packer.
No, not tonight. At 10:01 a.m.
And we're going to go to the newspaper. My daughter gave me a Christmas gift.
No, this is good,
too. And you're going to get to see this when we come back on Packer and Durham.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
All right, Packer and Durham, final segment. I think I got 10 minutes of voice left. What are we looking at here?
This is my daughter, Emily, sent me. This is my Christmas present from my daughter. This is the... Hey, Dad, I got this off eBay.
This is your daughter at Florida State.
This is my daughter, Emily, who graduates from Florida State in 3.5 years on Saturday, May the 2nd.
Tell you what.
Yeah.
She's going to love being at the Derby
with
us.
No, she's not. She's going to love walking across that stage at the Tucker Center.
Wait and see.
Yeah, no. She'll be at the Tucker Center.
I'm going to say Emily's got a mint julep in both hands.
And by the way, Drew, nice try to get my daughter to bail her graduation to come to the Derby. She saw that on Twitter, by the way.
She's definitely gone. Are you kidding me?
Drew Brooks.
Yeah, she's in.
No, she's not in.
You know what's going to be funny?
What?
Is when Wes is in Tallahassee waiting for his daughter to walk across the stage, and she calls him with this in the background.
Yeah. Okay. Let me also add, while I got a moment here, that I'm very grateful to the Tallahassee Leon County Chamber of Commerce for relegating the or regulating, I should say.
Either way,
the hotel rates in Tallahassee for graduation weekend.
How's that? Well, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll be at the Derby.
When she sends you the bill for the Derby, you'll be even.
Emily, playing to the strengths of this program, by the way. Got the Memphis Commercial Appeal sports page from November of 1950. This is for the basement. And it's got the college football scores across the top. Alabama beat Georgia 14-7.
They always do.
Tennessee shut out North Carolina 16-0.
Come on, Carolina.
Let's see. Oh, Duke beat Georgia Tech 30-21.
Did they? By the way, let's ask Drew if they covered.
By the way, on the back, we got to decide what side we want to showcase.
See, I love the back here.
Columnist Walter Stewart, this is the day of a big game. All Texas eyes are on Austin.
God rest his soul.
Yep. And then here, this is my favorite part, by the way. Chris, you may have to go to 2 to see this. These are the pictures that they used to show in these newspapers. Like, this is Columbia Cornell. Look at the crowd, by the way.
I was going to say, it looks like every bowl game I watched.
All right. And look. Columbia would be going left to right. That's a kicker, apparently kicking the is Jack Ford there? No, that'd be Yale. Thanks, Josh. And this is the kicker. The ball is in the air and circled with the dotted line. Packer's done, by the way. He's done with the show. The pictures are hilarious. In the 1950s.
So is the Jack Ford reference.
So is the Jack Ford reference. By the way, at the top of the page, sorry, Carolina. Tennessee cashes fumbles to trim Carolina 16-0. Unsung back leads Army to victory.
Mm.
So there you go. That's my Christmas present for my daughter, Emily. Emily, love you. Thank you for the gift.
That's great.
Yeah. So there you go.
Love it.
Yeah.
We also need to confirm what our caller from Nevada, mentioned earlier, that Clemson been ranked number one 16 times. That has now been confirmed.
Okay.
The caller was 100% right.
All right.
Thank God I don't gamble because I'd have lost that bet.
Yeah, there you have it. So tomorrow on this show, I think Tom Luganbill will be here.
Yeah, Luke's was supposed to be here today.
No, he's not going to be here.
He was supposed to be here today. So
Jeff Hafley, the new coach at Boston College, will be here.
Excellent. Look forward to that.
Brad Brownell will be with us on camera from Clemson.
Always enjoyable.
Maybe Katie George.
The coveted invite.
And
we have not
you
had
know
her
what?
On in a while.
I'm kind of glad Logan Bill's not here tomorrow. Be honest with you.
Already an upgrade.
That's it.
Folks.
Get better.
It's time to get the voice back.
Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. on Packer and Durham.
Thank you for listening to the Packer and Durham podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.